Fanatics, welcome to the show. Today we have Ed Gertner. He's an Emmy-winning director and art director known for The New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, my favorite, The Little Mermaid series, and also layout supervisor and designer for Beauty and the Beast and Lion King, oh my gosh, and so much more. Let us welcome Ed Gertner to the show. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Marilyn.
Oh, it's terrific. Winnie the Pooh is one of my favorite. I think every kid in my generation has the Winnie the Pooh bear stuffed dollar toy.
Oh, yeah. I have mine around somewhere here.
Yeah, with the famous red shirt, yellow bear with red shirt.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I loved him so much that I wrote my own bear story, Mr. Button's Magical Adventures, and also Jack the Bear and Golden Hair, but I'm not, he's not an animated series yet, but maybe one day, maybe you'll animate him, ha ha.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, where are you recording live with me today from?
My studio at home.
Oh, beautiful. In Los Angeles, right?
In Los Angeles, yep.
Oh, great. So that's one of the things that you get to work from home now. So that's beautiful, right?
Yeah, actually, you know, it's kind of funny. It's almost like being retired. But the good parts is that I can come in and work when I feel like it rather than being in a closed area. And, you know, well, you have to work. It's 9 o'clock, you know, nine to six. So it's been actually kind of nice.
And do you find it more creative when you are in your own space with like your favorite drinks, your favorite surroundings, maybe your favorite pet? And
yeah, I mean, it is, because I have all my reference here. And, you know, like I was saying, I could go out and I do a lot of sketching before I do the final artwork. So I can sit outside and sketch a little bit or play with my dog. And it's very relaxing.
Yeah, I'm so happy. At least that's a very, very positive benefit. It's like it's relaxing. It's a little bit healthier because you run your own dog, and maybe do you find you're more creative that way too?
Yeah, and I do miss working with people. I love working with people. That's what this really the animation business is a group of people putting their ideas together. But yeah, it's very relaxing being able to just. You know, being at work, it's kind of like there's this pressure on top of you. You know, you perform. Yeah. And now it's like, yeah, okay, I'll get it. And like you said, it is a little bit more relaxing, and you take time to think about what you're doing rather than just trying to get it done.
Yeah, and I always think, like, you save that hour going to work in the morning, the hour in the back. Maybe you can use that to walk your dog or exercise or do something healthy, you know?
Yeah, that I do.
And I can save on deodorant. Gosh, you're not around anyone.
It's kind of interesting because my dog will bother me. You know, she'll come in and say, you know, you got to take a break. You got to take a break. And it's like, oh, God, yes. You know, I've been sitting at my computer for too long. So I get up and I take a walk and it's really nice.
Oh, that's beautiful. So I'm going to ask you, so when you were a kid, what was some of your favorite movies growing up?
Well, I liked all sorts of movies in all genres, too. horror movies and animation mostly, because that's where I'm in. I was lucky enough, my grandfather worked at Walt Disney Company, and for our birthdays, they were able to check out films. So I had all my friends come over on all our birthdays, and he would rent the pictures and we would show them. That was before video and CDs and all the rest of the stuff. They would, you know, Disney would release their movies once every 10 years. So we were lucky enough to see the animation.
Wow. Was there a special movie that just stood out to you?
I like Pinocchio. I liked Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, yeah.
The early Disney stuff I love.
Oh, me too. I love like Lady and the Tramp and Aristocrats. Oh, my gosh. And that's 2D, right? That's when you say the old stuff. Is that 2D or what do you call the old stuff?
Yeah, well, that's it's funny. There's different names for everything. Yeah, it was 2D animation. But, and Or BC before computers.
The style was so pretty though, right?
Yeah, and that was the thing. It was really based a lot on art direction. And so just a little bit of history. The layout department, as we call it, they're not actually, that's changing now with the computers, but the layout department was the art direction department before the union came in. We would have to basically, the layout department would design characters, backgrounds, lighting, camera, and then it would go from there out to the animators in the background department. When the union came in, it got split up where we had a background department, we had layout department, and we had art directors. So it was very a creative area, and it's kind of the reason why I got into it, because I went to Cal Arts for 4 years, and I started as an animator. I actually animated on Lord of the Rings, Ralph Bakshi, Lord of the Rings, and I got
Wow.
involved in that.
You
But
animated Lord of the Rings?
yeah, that was 77, yeah, and I just didn't want to be stuck doing one character for 2 to 3 to 4 years, and the whole world, I could design the whole world, and I could paint and do all sorts of stuff. So that's why I leaned towards art direction, layout area, and design. It just gave me like the door open, and I could do anything.
Oh wow. So you like creating the worlds and the people and everything. You don't want to just be stuck with one character. So yeah, so yeah, very creative. Yeah. I'm just learning to do I'm making my first like hand-drawn little cartoon animations. I'm learning how to do it and I have to make the backgrounds and everything, but I'm not I mean, I wish I would have known that this is I always was writing stories, but I didn't know now you have to like make them videos of them because like with YouTube they want to see the videos because my podcast I have a children's podcast I think everyone knows by now Enchanting Book Readings is ranked top 1% globally, so I'm trying to make the videos because the parents keep asking me can you show anything video wise and go it takes $2,000 a minute to do that and I don't have those funds yet, but so I'm trying to do them by hand, but I just didn't have that college and it's so expensive. So you went to one of the top schools, Cal Arts, which is incredible. They teach you so much stuff, right?
Oh yeah. At the time, what had happened was CalArts was basically, Walt Disney had property out in Valencia, California, and he built the school because a lot of the older artists learned from Chouinard, which was a school down in downtown Los Angeles, and it was family run, and the people had died off, and he wanted to keep the art moving, so he built the school. And I was in the second year of the program, the animation program, which was in 70. I got up there in 76. I was in my class was Tim Burton and Chris Buck, and there was Mike Giacomo, and I mean there was a whole group of us. And the first season or the first year was John Lasseter, and I mean, there's a whole group. The first 2 years up at Cal Arts, there were so many people that came out of there with talent. We were also the, and the reason for that was that we had all the old Disney artists teaching us, not just
Wow.
Disney artists, but good solid artists. There was a guy named Bill Moore who taught us design. He taught at Chouinard, and he taught quite a few of the artists in the industry. Design, but it was interesting because all those people had connections. I'd have lunch with Maurice Noble and Mike Maltese from Warner Brothers. They did all the Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner and Coyote stuff. So we had access to all this knowledge, and obviously it worked. We all enjoyed it very much. It wasn't. We called it Camp Fun Time, but it wasn't just fun. It was you learned, and you had to learn. And what it did is it sent me right into to Disney when I graduated. And so I got to work on Fox and the Hound and Cauldron and from then on. And it was inspiring to see the artwork and the knowledge that was given to us. So I'm trying to give it back, actually. Now, I taught a few years ago, and I'm going to teach again, I think, shortly, I hope. It's been fun.
Oh, maybe I can sign up and learn from you. I'd like to. Do you do it online? Will the classes be online?
Well, actually, I shouldn't say, but I've been asked to see if I could teach out at Azusa Pacific College.
Oh, I wish I'd be online, because I need to learn how to turn my stories into little animations, because people are doing it. I'm doing my like creative niche, like hand drawn and using my skill, because I'm just now learning editing. I mean, I don't know Final Cut Pro yet, but I'm drawing, I'm doing the backgrounds, and I'm just like, you know, but I wish I could learn to do it, because everyone keeps asking me, all the parents, like, can you turn these into like little animations so that the kids can watch it on YouTube? And I'm like, I'm doing the best I can, but that's like my dream, to have them turn into TV shows and films.
It's very hard to do it by yourself. It really is.
Yes, it is.
That's why I keep saying it is. It's a combined effort of people. But it's all about storytelling, whether you're writing or if you're drawing or if you're doing backgrounds or even if you're doing effects, it's all about the story. And if you lose track of your story, you're going to lose your audience.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes from. You know, you could have weak artwork, you could have weak camera, but if the story is there, you'll be okay. And what's happening now, just for people who want to do this like you, a lot of the big companies bought up publishing companies, you know, like Disney got Marvel, Warner Brothers has DC Comics, you know, so they've bought, those are comic books, but they've also bought publishing companies. And what you need to do these days is to have your own work rather than being taken away from you. If you do like illustrated novels or graphic novels and you put them out as books, and what it'll do is it'll help you solidify your story, and you have it out there, and people, you can get good reaction from, or you know, responses from it. They'll let you know if it's good or bad. And then you can go around and sell your story or your book to these companies, rather than being like, I've been at Disney now for, I'll be here, I started in 80, so you can, if you can do it now. I left for a few years, but it's yours to own, you know, rather than being an employee where they kind of take it from you and you don't get as much for it. And you can pass it on to your heirs if you have any. I mean, that's a good thing, is that it is yours rather than having it taken away from you.
Yeah, well, I write books, and then the podcast I write, I make the book stories into audio stories. And like I said, it's ranked top 1% globally. So the audience loves the stories.
Yeah.
Hitting number one in almost every single country. So like my goal now is like, the parents have asked, can you show us something visual? So I'll send you something. I don't want to talk too much about me. I want the audience to know about you and your journey, but like when you said you're teaching, I think there's so many people that are, because they love our animation guests. They're like, wow, you have such great animation guests. I'm like, well, how do we get in the business? But most of the people I found like going to CalArts, but a lot of people couldn't afford CalArts, or what if they don't get in? Is there any kind of steps they do? They have to draw or have a portfolio to show people?
Yes. I mean, the best thing to do is draw, just period. Just draw live, life drawing. Do your own characters. Look at books. It's not necessarily the school you go to that makes you. It's what you are. And if you really want to do it, you'll find people who will help. There's Otis. in Los Angeles. There's the Art Institute. Cal State Northridge actually has a good animation program. Fullerton. I'm trying to think of the one in Orange County, Chapman. So there's schools out there, but it's not necessarily about the school. It's about who's teaching you and what you can learn from it, and learn the basics. Computers are just a tool. It's like a pencil. When the computers came in, they actually got rid of a lot of us. That's when I got actually laid off from Disney at one point.
Oh, wow.
Even though I knew, I learned how to do Maya, it was kind of like a changing of the guard for whatever reason. But it is just a tool. You need to know what the basic drawing, you know, the machine isn't going to do anything if a person doesn't control it. And there's bad computer animation and there's good computer animation, just like 2D. If you want to learn, there are good books out there. I wrote a couple books. I have a book on layout and composition through Focal Press, and I just did my children's book, which is called The Jewels of Alcazar, which, as I was explaining before, I'm doing to not just to make into an animated piece, but I'm hoping that people will like the story, and then maybe it could be turned into a animated series or a feature or something, or not.
Yeah, can you repeat that? So your book, Ed Gertner, and it's spelled G-H-E-R-T-N-E-R. And I'll have the link if, Ed, you send me the links to put in the podcast summary, because people read the summaries. It's The Jewel of Alcazar, did you say?
Yeah, it's called The Jewels of Alcazar.
The Jewels.
It's about a little girl who befriends a cat, and the mice in this castle in Spain are trying to help the queen because they've overheard that some people are going to steal her jewels. And the queen is afraid of mice. So the mice keep trying to help her, but when she sees the mice, she screams and runs away and has her people try to get rid of the mice. And what they do is they find this mouser, which is the girl with her cat, and they come into the castle. This little girl can talk to animals, and the whole basis of this is that it's almost like when kids have this ability to talk to animals, and people used to have the ability to talk to animals, but as you grow up, you lose that ability. And so this little girl can talk to both the mice and the cat, and they make friends and they help the queen out.
Oh, that's beautiful. Is it a long book or a short book?
It's a short book.
Oh, you know what, Ed, if you want, I love to do the audio for my Enchanting Book Readings podcast and put it on there. I'm just starting to put other people's books on my podcast, and I just put Jungaloo Crew on there, and it hit number one in countries.
So, great. Yeah,
and it's like, as you guys know, the budget is just free budget audio. I don't have high-end studio sound, so until I get more funds. So it's just, you know, but people love the sound. They haven't, you know, it's just regular podcast sound.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it gets out there.
You start by starting.
Yeah, and I think there's been too much,
Yeah.
There's too much about, you know, making it perfect. Just get your story out there. Let people hear it, and it'll work for itself. If it's a good story, it'll hit strings somewhere.
Yeah, and can you also share the books on animation, so the people listening that want to get into animation, art directing, writing, directing, producing, whatever, what are your books that you wrote on animation?
The one that I have out is Layout and Composition for Animation.
So Layout and Animation Composition, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you'll give me the summary. I'll put in the links below. So anyone listening, you can go check out Ed Gertner's book and read it. And then, yeah, that's wonderful. So I want to ask you, so how did you start drawing? What, like, you were watching, your dad worked at Disney. So was he an animator too, or?
No, that was my grandfather, and
oh, okay.
he was actually in live action. He was a transportation head, or at one point. I started drawing. I guess my mom told me that I was drawing all over everything when I was a kid, and it never stopped. And I love drawing. I guess because I was kind of my age, I didn't have a whole lot of friends out there. My age, so it was kind of like I had to make up stuff. So by making up stuff, I would draw, and I would build things, you know, like little forts, and I'd climb trees and do all sorts of, you know, kid stuff, just, you know, making up fantasy things. And my mom always told me that I would be drawing all over the place. So and when I got into school, it kind of helped me along, actually, as a teenager too. I was into sports, but it was fun to do, but it wasn't my thing. And when I started drawing, when I was getting into junior high and high school, people started noticing my artwork, and it was and the girls started noticing, so that was you know, the big thing. So I had art all the way through my public schooling, actually, and I took architecture. I went to Granada Hills High School, and there was a real architect who was teaching architecture, and I learned a lot. I took 2-3 years from him, and so that helped me a lot too, because it gave me a wider range of stuff, not just cartoon stuff. It was reality. And the more you can learn about many different things, the better you'll be as an artist.
Oh, that's beautiful. And then so you graduated from high school, but you knew you wanted to go into animation, because getting into CalArts is very hard. Did you have a portfolio or?
Yeah, that's a funny story, because it was good for me at the time that I was coming in to get my portfolio together, and I knew life drawing was a big thing. The Olympics had I think just taken place, and I was doing quick sketches of the athletes, so I had all that in my portfolio. But this is where my grandfather came into play. I asked him, I said, is there anybody I can talk to at Disney? And he gave me the phone number, and I went in and talked to it was Eric Larson. I mean, the animator. And I went in and I sat with him for about 2 or 3 hours, and he went over my artwork, and he was going, well, this is good and that's good. And I'm thinking, God, this is Eric Larson. This is the guy.
And looking at your artwork and saying, this is good. Awesome.
Yeah. And so what happened was the guy, Jack Hanna, he was the director of all the Donald Duck shorts, or most of the Donald Duck shorts at Disney. He was in charge of the program up at CalArts, and he happened to have been there that day. And he said, oh, your stuff will be good. You know, why don't you come up to CalArts? And I said, okay. I still have a few years to go in high school, because I was only in, I think, 10th or 11th grade. So I submitted my portfolio, and as the story goes, I submitted it, and they said, oh, yeah, you'd be great, no problem. And I got the letter back coming just as I was graduating, and it said that I wasn't accepted. And I said, what the heck am I going to do?
Oh,
this is
gosh.
What I wanted to do. So I called up. My mom, thank God for her, she said, don't take that as a no. Call them up and find out what's going on, because they said you would be good for it. And so I called him up, and he said, hey, how you doing, Ed? We're going to see you. And I went, no, I got a letter from your office saying that I wasn't accepted. And he said, what? Uh-oh, we better check this. He says, no, we accepted you. And I was like, oh, good thing I called up.
Wow, because normally you're too devastated and wouldn't call up. So what, they made a mistake?
Yeah.
Wow, well, thank goodness your mom told you to call.
Yeah, And what was great about it is that my 4 years of going to CalArts, the studio paid for half my education. They gave me grants.
Oh, thank God. And, yeah, because it's expensive.
And at the time, it wasn't that expensive to go there, but still, I couldn't afford it. You know, it would have been nice if I had to pay the whole 4 years. I would have been broke.
Yeah, I want to ask real quickly, because Tim Burton was in your class. Because at a half hour, we can do part two. But any fun stories with Tim Burton or anybody in your class? You want to share some fun stories?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we were all crazy up at CalArts. I didn't stay there because it was too much money. I could live. I only lived a couple miles away from CalArts. So it saved on room and board. But a couple times, Tim and I carpooled a few times up to school. And but going there, I mean, we were always pulling pranks and doing stuff. But what really happened was when we got to Disney, we would always put on these shows called the Eddie Show. We had standees of Eddie Fisher and Doris Day, and we cut the mouths out and we had them moving. And we would play music behind it. And so we had our little shows at the studio. And this one Christmas, we were putting on a Christmas show, and Joe Ranft and me, and I think it was John Lasseter and Mike Giamo and all these guys, we were all up on the roof of the old animation building at the studio lot, and Joe was dressed as Santa Claus. And what we had done was we were singing the song, and Joe would lean over the edge of the building and come back and lean forward and come back. And we had a dummy Santa Claus. And so the last time when he leaned back, we threw the Santa Claus off the top of the roof. And I don't know, the guards at the studio, I think that was the quickest they ever hit the top of that building trying to figure out what was going on. We were always pulling pranks.
Oh my gosh, pulling pranks with Tim Burton. Oh, that is like making cutouts of Eddie Fisher and oh my God.
Yeah, we would, and I was around when Tim first did his Frankenweenie. He was given a portion of a studio, one of the sound stages. I was working on a computer animation camera way back. This was like 80, 81. And on the other side of this studio, the sound stage. And so it was fun being there, seeing him do his stop motion stuff. And I knew that's where he was going to end up, you know. And shortly after that is when he left and went on his way.
Amazing. And then you went on your way to do amazing, amazing shows. Well, I want to just thank you so much for coming to the show. This will be end of part one, because I want to bring you back too, because there's so much more to talk about. So I just want to say, everyone, this is Ed Gertner from Winnie the Pooh to so many magical stories, and with his own book, The Jewels of Alcatraz, and his animation book. Ed, can you share that again with everyone?
Sure. It's the Layout and Composition for Animation, with published by Focal Press. And my Jewels of Alcazar is self-published.
Yeah. And do you have a website or anything like that you want to share, or Instagram or social media?
No.
Okay, so you guys will just have to get in touch with me if you want to get in touch with Ed. But I'll put it in the summary below, and I'll come back for part two with Ed Gertner. So happy to have you. Just wonderful stories and wonderful animation that you do. Thank you so much for coming to the show. Check out his book, The Jewels of Alcazar, and his animation book for everyone that is looking to get into animation. Thank you, Film Addicts, and please check out, subscribe, like, and look in the summary for all of our wonderful things that you can check out. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you.